Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Vincent Price to my Ed Wood. So shoot those long distance electrodes into the pineal and pituitary glands of the recently dead. And welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Well, I think the bulk of the horrible black plague has gone. Everyone seems to be on the mend.
Yes, yes, this is true. I was sick last week. What else has been going on?
Well, lots going on. You probably heard how this 9-year-old basketball league in Sumner, Washington has banned stealing off the dribble because people get upset if the ball is stolen from them. They get upset.
Nope. Haven't heard of this.
I don't know how you missed that. It was huge news. Huge news. No more stealing the ball from your opponent because it makes your opponent feel bad.
Hmm. That's unfortunate. That is unfortunate.
I'm sure the NBA will eventually adopt it. They'll say, you'll make LeBron feel bad if he doesn't get to shoot on this possession, so you just leave him be. No more trying to defend.
I think that already happens with LeBron.
Is it an official rule, though, because it is in Sumner, Washington?
I believe it's an unofficial rule that LeBron is able to get away with those sorts of things. And those that play LeBron are unable to get away with those sorts of things.
Well, in Sumner, Washington, if you attempt to make a steal on defense, they will send you away from the league, apparently.
Interesting. Now, I alerted you earlier this morning of a story. The story is attached to, we won't call it necessarily a contest, this story is attached to just a fun game for you and only you, Sign Guy. Are you prepared for this conversation?
Mildly prepared thus far. We'll see where it takes us.
Well, this morning, it was around, it was after 8 a.m. Let's say it was 8:20 a.m. It was somewhere around that time. I looked at my telephone, cellular phone, I believe they call them these days, and I saw I had a message from a friend. This friend messaged me to tell me that a certain person was in their place of business. To you, Sign Guy, who was that person, and where does my friend work?
I'm going to say it was Ross, and he works at a museum as a curator for the dinosaur exhibit.
Okay. No, I'm not asking you who my friend was. I don't care which of my friend it was. I'm asking you whom was the person that was at my friend's place of business.
Ah, so the person that was at the museum. Okay. I'm going to guess former New York City Mayor Ed Koch.
That is incorrect. All right, I'm going to give you a hint. My friend works at the Harry and Izzy's bar at the Indianapolis airport.
I'm going to guess.
Harry and Izzy's being an upscale restaurant in Indianapolis.
I'm going to guess it was Paige.
You're getting very much closer. You're getting very much closer. One more guess. I'm going to tell you that this person was at the upscale restaurant Harry and Izzy's bar at the Indianapolis airport at 8 a.m. slamming Miller Lights.
Oh, then I'm going to guess it was you.
It was not me. It was Ric Flair. Ric Flair, at 8 a.m. in the morning, was just pounding down Miller Lights at the Harry and Izzy's bar.
But that's like an everyday occurrence for him. That's like saying Ric Flair was inhaling oxygen and breathing out carbon dioxide.
This is why Ric Flair is my only hero. He's just pounding down Miller Lite.
Jim Cornette.
What?
What about Jim Cornette?
I like him. I wouldn't call him a hero, per se.
You have in the past.
Well, he's been racist lately.
So is Beast Barnett. You've called him your hero?
I would never call Beast Barnett my hero.
But you both called Jim Cornette your hero.
Well, let's get back to this. Ric Flair, 8 a.m. in the morning, is hammering these. They don't even start selling booze again in Indiana until 7 a.m. So they had just started selling booze again, and he hustled down there to start hammering these Miller Lights. Is that not a legend or what?
Pretty much an everyday occurrence for him, I believe.
I bet it is. Now, we also had another competition. Do you remember this one?
With Ric Flair?
No, this was a competition that was going to take place last week.
Oh, the scandalous one.
What did my mother leave at my house for me?
It was burritos. We confirmed it.
It was not burritos.
It was. It was burritos.
It was not burritos.
Pretty sure it was. We confirmed it.
I am positive it was not burritos. Oh, it was something else. Something much else. Would you like to know what it was?
I know it was burritos, but go ahead.
It was one of those wacky WWE ringside collector's chairs that they have for pay-per-views from the SummerSlam at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, featuring a naked Maria on it.
Now, did your mother have to go to the airport and pick Maria up? Or was Maria just walking along town somewhere? And your mother, Mary Chipotle Sharp, said, "Hey, I got to drop off some burritos in a chair to my son. You want to come along?" Mary's like, "Well, I'm naked." And she's like, "Doesn't matter."
Well, to be fair, Maria does work for TNA now.
Yes.
So I think that answers your question. She's definitely going to need a ride anywhere.
All right.
Yeah. So let's go around the water cooler. What's going on? Speaking of, I just cracked open a Miller Lite, just like my hero and only hero, Ric Flair.
What about Roman Reigns?
He's one of my favorite wrestlers. He's not my hero.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I do know about that.
Well, the scuttlebutt includes this league in Sumner not wanting to offend people trying to play offense by having it interrupted by defense.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of league says, "I don't want the defense interrupting this offense, so just don't play defense, just stand there.
Mm-hmm.
Stand there patiently and wait for your turn. And if you could not try to rebound the ball against the people that won it on the offense, that'd be great."
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of youths you're raising there in Sumner. And this whole thing with Kermit and Piggy trying to trick Robin into thinking they were still a couple when in fact they are not, that was a little disturbing.
Now do what?
That whole thing when Robin was there visiting and Kermit and Miss Piggy were trying to trick him into thinking they were still a couple so as to not offend him. That was a little weird. Got a little uncomfortable there. No wonder everyone on the show just bailed when Robin walked into the room. They just ran away. They didn't want to be uncomfortable.
I suppose so. I suppose so. Sure.
And the fact that they made Scooter lie on Twitter by telling him this huge lie. They're like, "Oh, we don't want you to lie, so yeah, we're together again," when in fact they were not, knowing Scooter would tweet it and then alert the media. How bad does it make Scooter look? They didn't care. They didn't care that Scooter looked like a fool. What did he ever do to either one of them?
No one cares about them. Nobody.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all.
I wonder what ratings the TV show gets. Do you think their ratings are higher or lower than TNA Impact on Pop?
I'm going to say the same.
You think they're getting around 270,000 viewers on network television?
I don't see why not.
Well, let me take a look here. Let's see. Oh, this says the Muppets just hit a brand new low in the ratings. So they may be as low as TNA ratings. Let's see what this says. But as primetime Muppets, 3.75 million people. So there's your answer. So upwards of 3,500,000 more viewers than TNA. So, yeah, not exactly close. What else is going on besides the Muppets?
Well, Mr. Belvedere's series finale still remains one of the strangest series finales of all time. That was just bizarre, even for Mr. Belvedere in its final year, which took a turn for the horrifically bizarre.
Would you like to explain that?
Well, they had Mr. Belvedere just suddenly marry some broad and move to Africa with her. He was trying to not have to marry this broad just moments before the wedding by dating the neighbor's niece. And she's like, "I thought we were getting married." And he's like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, "Sure, I'll get married, even though I was just trying to date this other broad just less than 2 minutes earlier." And then she's like, "Oh, by the way, I have to go back to Africa for no real defined reason at all." And he's like, "Well, then I'll just pack up my belongings and I'll just move too." It's kind of weird because he made it clear he didn't want to leave the Owens household, even though they were pretty much all openly hostile to him for the entire 7 years he was there.
All right. Well, there's that. Anything else happening? How about them Purdue Boilermakers? They're looking pretty good. Say, didn't they just lose?
No, it's been a few days.
Oh, a few days since they lost. To whom did they lose?
The, as Beast would call it, worst team in the history of collegiate basketball.
So, Purdue is so bad they couldn't beat the worst team in the history of collegiate basketball?
Well, everybody loses once in a while.
But not usually to the worst team in basketball. Man, they must be really pathetic.
It happens, otherwise there would be like 0-82 teams in the NBA, and there is not.
So you're telling me the worst team in basketball has a record better than Purdue?
I didn't say that.
Well, this worst team in basketball that defeated them has a better record than them.
But I did not say that.
So perhaps they aren't the worst team in basketball.
You're going to have to take that up with Beast.
I'm going to take it up with you. In fact, they're the best team in the Big Ten.
I think we established it was Purdue, yes.
No, Purdue is nowhere near the top of the Big Ten. Now, the Indiana Hoosiers, number one in the Big Ten with a bullet.
They aren't with the Washington Bullets because the Washington Bullets aren't even the Bullets anymore.
Well, you know who was
changed their name because of all the gun violence.
Well, you know who was with the Washington Bullets? Calvert Chaney. So there you go.
Recently?
When they were still the Bullets?
Well, that was back in the first George Bush presidency.
You don't know a word about a word.
I believe so. I believe they were the Bullets until like 1991-ish or 92-ish, somewhere in there.
Now, why are the Purdue Boilermakers so terrible?
They're not.
I would disagree, as would everyone.
I think we just established I would not.
All right, well, why don't you hit that music? All Total Dialogue Time. That's the segment of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene will feature Sign Guy as Foxy Alicia Foxy Fox, and I portray Paige. End scene.
Sleeping on the plane, I started off leaning on the window, and I ended up sleeping on this guy. After we landed, I couldn't even look at him.
It's like you just slept with him and moved on.
Oh my God! What was I thinking? Oh my God, girl! Thank you for inviting me over.
Yeah, do you even know the hits?
So there's this awesome furniture store that you have here, and I can't believe that I've never even, like, gone there before.
I'm super hungry. Can we eat first and then go to the furniture store?
Before the furniture store?
I'm so hungry!
Like, hangry or you're hungry?
I'm hungry!
Okay, fine, but it's going to be a quick bite.
And scene. Sign Guy, what was this?
This was a scene where Paige had picked up Foxy in her hometown of Orlando, and Foxy was all about furniture shopping. She wanted to go furniture shopping because she thought that would change Foxy's entire life and make her the most mature member of the Divas roster. But Paige wanted none of it. She didn't want to go to the furniture store, so she, you know, devised this scheme where she would trick Paige into going to breakfast in order to prolong the delay of furniture shopping until said furniture store was closed. This was the initial scheme hatched by Paige.
All right, so, Sign Guy, who did you hate this episode?
Well, number one, I had Natty.
Oh, now, all right, go ahead.
We first see Natty at the arena, I believe it was in Buffalo. And she's telling this makeup broad that, you know, she can't wait to be saved and have the makeup done properly and all this. And she's like, oh, by the way, I still work for WWE. I'm still employed here. I'm really employed. I'm really part of the WWE. Like, they offered me a contract. And she just kind of looks around and she's like, for an undisclosed sum of money. Because she was too embarrassed to tell them it was for, you know, a couple $100 a week or whatever. She didn't want to tell them that. She didn't want to say it was, like, contract that even Mandy would laugh at, but it probably was. So she just got to that point. She's like, oh yeah, it's undisclosed, can't talk about it. And then Natty shows up at Nicole and John's as John's trying to recover from his broken nose. And she brings this shoebox, which apparently contained a bottle of wine, as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you put a bottle of wine in a shoebox as a gift? It made no sense, but there's Natty with, like, I brought a shoebox. It's got wine in it. Let's drink all of it while John sits up there and passes out. And then they're on the road again, and this time they're in Baltimore, I believe it is. Nikki wants to sleep in Natty's room, so Natty's like, oh, okay, I'll just put on pants. No shirt, just pants. And Natty's like, well, obviously there's something bothering you, and you tried to tell me before, personal. So now that we have a camera crew with us, tell me what it is, exactly, so I can run and tell everyone Everyone I come across on the street, I will tell them your personal deep dark secret. Tell me what it is.
Yes.
She didn't have to say a word to anyone. She could have just said, why are you so uncomfortable sleeping in your own room? Then she could have, I don't know, maybe offered a therapist's number. But no, she's like, tell me so I can run around the locker room telling all the other broads.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was in her new contract that they offered her, that she got to tell 18 people a secret per show.
Yeah, perhaps. Now, Natty really wasn't there much, honestly.
It usually helps, but not in this situation.
Yeah, for me, she just wasn't there enough to be entertaining or to be terrible. So Natty was just... I thought she was very nice and considerate to Nikki when Nikki was having her problems with her horrible sister. But Natty was just kind of there for me, so I'm gonna have to cut ranks with you. I do not agree.
That might be a theme in this episode, but continue onward.
Mine is not the usual. Oh, Brie Bella made my list. But she was not the worst person for me, sign guy. Can you believe it?
I believe it until you change your mind. But go ahead.
The worst person to me was Rosa. Rosa. The hated, evil Rosa. Let me explain this to you. Because it doesn't seem... on the surface, like, Rosa was that bad. But, here's the thing. This nitwit is worried about her mom not approving of the father of her child because he is an atheist. The woman, who is allegedly also a great Christian herself, has found herself impregnated outside of wedlock, and she's worried about how her mother will feel about her boyfriend's lack of religion. And as if that is something that should even be of consequence to her mother. And this is so much an issue to Rosa that this fucking idiot asks her baby daddy to just pretend to be of a religion he isn't just to make someone else happy. Like, can you imagine, sign guy, if someone were to ask you, sign guy, will you pretend, you know, to be like, I don't know, a Satanist just to make my mom happy? Like, no, just pretend. Just agree with everything I say. Any Satan rituals, anything, just agree with it, okay? Would that be cool with you?
Yeah, I'd have to pass on it.
Yeah, you'd pass on it because you have your own beliefs and you do not wish to then besmirch them in order to take on another belief that you might find yourself morally opposite to. So she thought it was fine to ask this guy, like, I'm dating you now, Ted Cruz. Hey, Ted Cruz. Will you pretend to be a Muslim for a while just to make my mom happy? No? Really? Because no one would ever do that. But since he's an atheist to Rosa Mendez, her thought is he's an atheist. He's so morally depraved that of course he'll pretend to be a religion to trick someone to play some sneaky jokes. Why, he has no beliefs. Her understanding of what atheism actually means is just ludicrous. Why you don't have any beliefs, so why do you care about any of this? You know, it's cool. You're a morally depraved atheist. Come on, fella. Come on. Just pretend. Just for my mom. Oh, it'll be cool. But, you know, then I got really fucking annoyed by this fucking guy, too. When it came time at dinner, they're going to do the prayer and all. And the mom is like, Bobby, will you lead the prayer? He's like, well, it's not my thing. Praying, not my thing. If you want a prayer, that's, I like that. You guys, I like you to pray. But for me, that's not a prayer. I'm not a prayer guy. Like, just fucking say, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm an atheist, and I prefer not to lead your prayer. Why did he have a problem with this sign guy?
Well, I believe the problem stemmed from he didn't want to upset Rosa right there at the table in front of one of each of their respective parents.
Yes.
So he tried to be as politically correct with it as he could, but this broad from a foreign country, probably an extremely strict Catholic, didn't comprehend it. She's just like, I can't comprehend this. And
but
so,
that's my point, though. Like, I, myself, am an atheist. I've had plenty of times at family gatherings where there's been things of this nature done, and I just, you know, it's very easy to say, I don't want to do it. And
well, he did say that.
But he didn't. He stuttered around like, yeah, I don't know. Like, the prayers, like, it's not for me. Like, just be very forward with it. Explain to her that you're very respectful of her. He tried to, but he did it very poorly. But the bigger problem was Rosa, honestly.
Now, Rosa channeled her inner Eva Marie in this. And she said, what would Eva Marie and Jonathan Coyle do in this situation? And she said, I know, I'll watch one of the past episodes. So she did, and she said, we should do this. And he's like, do I get a big steak? And she's like, no, because you don't eat meat. Very Jonathan Coyle and Eva Marie-esque. They needed Harry or Freddie Berry to come in there and sit down and say, I don't approve of this.
Yeah.
I don't approve of this.
That's kind of what her mom was portraying. But in I'm going to jump ahead here to Bobby's dad, Bob. Top three for me. That guy, first off, he just wants to eat his big old steak and not deal with all the nonsense around him. You can see it in his face. He just wants.
He had tennis ball eyes. Rex fell off his chair and dropped his call at the tennis ball eyeball remark. Well, I will wait for him to return. Hopefully any second. But that poor man Bob made my number two most liked. The man just had these tennis ball eyes. He's like, want steak. Don't want to seem like I'm not interested in the melee. Steak, melee, steak, melee. Would you say that's accurate?
I don't know what you said, but yes. But this fella, he's just eyeing the knives the entire time that prayer was happening. They showed him. They were showing everyone during the prayer, and they zoom in on that fella's face, and he's just like looking at all the knives to make sure that Rose's mom doesn't just jump up and start getting real stabby. And he just wants to eat a steak. And then, you know, the meal's finally finished. They've had their 30 seconds of makeup. And then he goes to Rose and he's like, listen, everything will be okay. Don't let this dominate your life. You know, it's your life. You're a great person. I'm the best guy. I'm the most normal, awesome person that's ever been on the show. Just me, Bob. Have a nice one. What a great guy Bob was, right?
As we established, I had him at number two on my most liked.
I was
mostly
saying,
for the tennis ball eyeballs.
Yes, he's watching.
Well, he went back and forth. It was like, look at the steak, look at the conversation. Look at the steak, look at the conversation. Look at the steak,
yes.
Look at the conversation. Look at the steak, look at the conversation.
And especially during that prayer, Those tennis ball eyeballs were watching the knives. He was afraid.
I think he was mostly afraid his steak was getting cold.
What a wonderful man. I hope he's on the show a lot more.
I have a feeling not too much longer.
I think it was too. Now, who else did you hate? Let's move along.
Number two, I had Paige.
Yes, Paige was very unlikable.
She was. Now, Paige this week, she took it as a game once again when they got in trouble with Carano. She's like, oh, Carano gonna be mad. Like it's a big game. Instead of, like, you know, her career. She's like, oops, we shouldn't have stayed at that bar while people were throwing drinks at us and trying to fight, but we did. Ha, ha, ha. That was funny of us. Because she just thinks it's a big game. It's like, oops, got to go and get yelled at by Carano, the man that is literally the guy in charge of my career. Oops, it's Paige being Paige again. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't it funny? Foxy didn't think it was funny so much anymore. Foxy's finally like, you know, they could fire us at any time for doing stupid things and having it blasted all over social media. And this Paige thinks it's a real funny thing. Maybe I should distance myself. But then Paige invites her to Florida because apparently Foxy's never been to Florida before, despite the fact that she said they all live within like a block of each other. Two episodes ago, she established.
She lived in a damn swamp with armadillos and snakes.
Well, she was getting the armadillos removed last week.
Allegedly.
But she wanted furniture.
Yes.
And Paige is like, not so much on furniture. I'll just trick her, and I'll not let her get her furniture. So I don't want to go to the furniture store. So she's like, I'll trick her into going to eat, and I'll order 37 mimosas. Foxy's like, don't want any mimosas. And she's like, well, we have to drink them because I ordered them. And this waiter guy would be disappointed in us. And then she's like, I know, let's go play bingo. And so
yes.
Paige goes to this bingo place.
Adult bingo, allegedly, where they had dildos and stuff.
Dirty bingo is how they refer
to it. Dirty bingo, that's it.
Yes. But she gets in there, and she, in her little talking head segment, is like, well, I'm going to flirt with these old men, because why not? And she gets in there. I don't think Paige was prepared for them to actually flirt back and, like, make advances, but they were.
Yeah, while we're here,
let
me interject real quick. My favorite person of the episode was almost the first person we saw here. The old guy at bingo. When those broads walk in, he's all, better now that you're here. He's just a total old creep. And he says, hey, if any of these old bastards ask for your number, don't give it to them. I'll take care of it. He's just trying to bang these broads.
He really
was.
Awesome. I think most of the guys in there were. And Foxy's just horrifically uncomfortable that Paige is like, we'll just sit here next to this old broad with the drinking problem that can't figure out how to cheat. Yeah,
no,
she's like...
They ask her, you like to party? Which is always, always, always code for, do you do cocaine? That's what do you like to party means, always. And she says, yeah, of course I do. So, bro, I just loves to get gacked up on some blow.
And Paige just keeps going and going. Foxy's like, we got 5 minutes to get to the store. And she's like, yeah, we're not doing that. Because I am Paige. And I set the rules here and everywhere else I go. Now, Foxy just wanted to buy a sensible couch, maybe a chair. And apparently, leave it at the store because supposedly she was flying in from somewhere. So I don't know how she was thinking she'd get it to her house.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently she just really wanted a couch from out of her area.
Mm.
And Paige wasn't about that. But then Paige goes to the taxidermy store because, like, well, the furniture store is closed. I'm sure Foxy would rather have dead animals that's been stuffed. And she buys a cow skull that's not taxidermied at all. Just a skull. Just a regular cow skull. And she's like, here, have this. That'll make up for everything.
Skulls. Now, you had Paige on your list, but for me, I put Foxy on my list. I found Paige unlikable, but I was more annoyed by Foxy. This fucking idiot's inability. I call someone an idiot, then say unability.
Yeah,
me
you did.
Me fail English? That's impossible. Anyway, her inability to say no to Paige is just ludicrous. Just say no. It's not hard. Just grow the fuck up and say no. You're out at fucking breakfast. You don't want to drink a fucking mimosa. Then just don't drink it. Paige can drink hers. Paige can drink two of them. Paige can drink four then. Whatever. But you don't want to. You don't do it. It's very easy. She's 29. She's a 29-year-old adult who can't seemingly say, no thanks, I'll pass. And then this fucking idiot is dumb enough to go play the fucking bingo. I guess thinking like, huh, a bingo hall. This could be the furniture store, I'm not sure. I know we were talking about bingo, but maybe Paige knows a special furniture shop. Where they sell, I don't know, decaying, rotted animal skulls that I've been looking for. And it's just labeled Bingo Hall. Maybe that's where we are. Oh, nope. So she gets in.
Oh, did you drop the call again? I think he dropped the call again. He did drop the call again. So we'll have to find out how long it takes him to realize he's once again dropped the call. Now we'll see if he recognizes that I put Paige on my top three. Opposite of him. So I didn't think Foxy was that unlikable. She was just a poor kid. Invited for one set of things. And then not allowed to do it because the person she was with refuse. She's like, nope. Gonna do things my way here. Foxy just wanted a quick bite of breakfast. Quick bite. Then off to the furniture store. But Paige is like, no, we'll drink a bunch of mimosas at this first place. And then when you're not clear-headed, I'll trick you into going to a bar. Most of the day. And then from the bar, we'll go to bingo. B-I-N-G-O, she said. B-I-N-G-O.
Yeah,
you pretty much agree with that.
Every word you said, I agree with wholeheartedly.
Uh-huh. Fine. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Every word you just said was the smartest word a person's ever said.
Uh-huh. All right.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So that was Foxy. Who else did you hate?
Number three, I had John Cena.
Okay.
Now, he wasn't in it very much, and it was kind of a flashbacky thing for the main part he was in. But his whole, I'll do bad impersonation of Japanese overdub movies in a real-life conversation, and then he's, like, trying to, like, envelop Nikki or something in some weird monster hold. It freaked me out. It freaked me out really bad. Really bad. And then, after he had his nose shattered. He's sitting there, and the referee comes up, and he's like, "Eh, I'm okay." His nose is on the opposite end of his face from where it started the match. He's like, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. It's not bad."
No, it's fine. Yeah.
And then they get to the point where Natty shows up with the shoebox of wine. And he's like trying to talk to Nikki. And he looks down and he's like, "Oh, guess Natty's here unannounced." So he's got to don't be like, "Oh, hi, and Natty, sorry, I didn't see you there. So nice to see you." And Natty just laughs at poor John Cena. She's like, "Ha ha, your nose is broken. Ha ha ha, nice to see you." And John Cena just went back to bed. He's just like, "Well, this was my house, but apparently Natty can show up any time of the day or night. Just show up at awkward moments." He just gave up the will to live. Said, "I'll just go back to bed."
Now, do you think John Cena likes to party?
I'd say no.
No, huh? Nope. Not at all.
You think he cheats at bingo?
Nope. I don't think he's ever cheated at anything in his life, ever.
Huh. All right.
Yeah. So that brings me to my last hated. Brie, because I'm married, Bella. That's the phrase she uses to her sister, who she knows is struggling with desires of wanting to be married. So any chance she gets to remind her sister, "Because I'm married." Ugh. So then we get to the hotel. Nikki wants to share a hotel room with her sister when she is alone without her boyfriend, whom is at home following a surgery to a brutal and horrific nose injury. All Nikki wants is to share this room with her sister. She's scared, she's worried, it's what she wants. So, of course, Brie has to be a fucking jerk about it. "No! Give me a king-size bed! I want a FaceTime!" As if you need a fucking king-size bed to FaceTime? What is she FaceTiming?
Josie.
No, I know she's FaceTiming to Josie, but what is she FaceTiming of herself that she needs a king-sized bed to do?
Her face.
Her face is king-sized?
I guess.
I don't know. "I need a king-sized bed. Garcia calls for her. I'm more important." Bah. Just screaming at her sister and telling her to get out of her room. That she's an adult, she's 31 years, grow up, don't you be fucking scared of anything, and blah, blah, blah. Get the fuck out. I could have been naked. And so then we get to where Natty comes to talk to her, have the heart-to-heart, and Bree's like, "Oh, I just didn't realize that my sister was actually scared when she, you know, just told me she was scared and wanted to be with me and didn't want to be alone and needed me and growled." Can you explain any of this to me, sign guy?
Sure. Now, Brie said she thought Nikki was just playing a children's game with her. Like, "I'm scared of the dark, ha ha ha, but not really. I just want to lay in your bed and I have to pay for my own room." And Bree's like, "Well, you know, don't really want you in my room every single road trip for the rest of our careers." So she thought Nikki was just using it as an excuse to cover not wanting to pay for a room. She's like, "Well, I'd like my own room every so often, so, you know, this could be one of those times."
I just don't get it. Your sister is telling you she's having problems, she's scared. You know her husband just had another surgery, and you're just a fucking jerk about it.
Well, she didn't realize there was deep-seated emotional trauma. And Nikki never said that. She just would say, oh, I'm scared. Bree thought she meant she was trying to say she was scared of the dark.
Well, let's be honest.
Because she's apparently done that before.
No, let's be honest. Do you think Nikki Bella feels comfortable expressing to her sister the very deepest, darkest aspects of her being?
I think she established she did not.
Yeah, can you imagine why? I can't. Why? I wonder why Nikki Bella wouldn't feel comfortable expressing to her sister. Oh, and this brings me to fucking something else. It was on the fucking pay-per-view Sunday night. They were doing an interview, backstage interview with Nikki Bella, or Brie Bella prior to her match. And it was Brie talking about, my husband, he just had to retire publicly from something he's loved all his life. And my sister, she had neck surgery. She's just, possibly done for. You know, it's like, how are they both so strong, yet I'm the one that's still here fighting?
Didn't I say she would say that like 2 weeks ago?
And she said it. Can you believe she said it?
Yes, because I told you 2 weeks ago.
God damn it. Beth and I had to rewind it just to ensure we heard her say that stuff. In an angle. They could have scripted things for her that come off so much better.
I told you that was how it would go down.
What a
tried to warn you.
Bitch. Yeah, and you know, there are people in this world that are like, oh, Bree, she's such a sweet girl. She's so nice. Nikki Bella's the one that's the real bitch. How? How do people think this, sign guy?
Well, because they listen to Brian and he says it and they're like, well, he must know something we don't. So they're like, okay, we'll go along.
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
Possibly.
Oh, all right. Anyone else you hated? I think we got them all right.
My number three was Cena, yes.
All right. Well, I've torn through two of my top threes. Let me just knock out my other one, and then I'll let you finish up. My final top three, we had, of course, the old creeper at Bingo. We had Bobby's dad, Bob. And Dennis Haskins, rebuilding himself, he just shows up backstage, ranting about how he's lost 60 pounds, and then just tries to get it in. That's Mr. Belding. Good work, Mr. Belding.
Now, right. Do you think he was prepared to reenact his famous scene from Magnum P.I. where he and Higgins went to that island and poor Dennis Haskins, he was like, don't worry, just a small caliber gun for shooting game in case we can't catch anything when we go fishing.
Nope, I don't think so. I think he was going to try to shoot his love gun, if you will, all those creamy bullets. And as he put it in the holsters belonging to the bra.
And what was with Natty like wanting tips on weight loss from a guy who looked like he still needed to lose 30 to 40 pounds?
Oh yeah, he looked like a tub of shit even still. I don't know what they were talking about. He lost all this weight because I didn't see it.
Maybe they meant, you know, since he was in that episode of Magnum P.I., of course, the famous episode Autumn Warrior in the 7th season.
Perhaps. All right, so who'd you like?
Well, of course, number three, as you agreed with very vehemently, was Foxy. We covered that.
Well, yes.
Number two, of course, I had Bob.
Yes.
Those tennis ball eyeballs, just state conversation, state conversation, state conversation. And he was up front what he likes. He's like, do you like fajitas? I could have made fajitas. And he was like, nope, don't like fajitas. And when they were shopping, and she's like, wonder what kind of lettuce we should get for your dad. And Bobby's like, not kale, he won't eat it. Kale, of course, not lettuce, it's kale. But he made a point of saying that his dad won't eat kale.
True.
And then he wanted the beer. He's like, yeah, I'll have some of that beer there. Because you bought four small bottles, someone better drink it. He's up front what he liked, what he didn't like.
What kind of beer do you think Bob enjoys most?
Are we saying just what he would normally drink?
Yes, like his go-to.
I'd say his go-to is Hefeweizen.
No, he's a steak and potato kind of guy who doesn't eat kale. He's not drinking a Hefeweizen. He's going for just a Bud Heavy. He's going for a Coors Light. He might get fancy and go for a Rolling Rock, but that's about it, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hefeweizen.
I just don't see it.
Well, if you can find him and tweet at him, maybe we can get to the bottom of it.
You're right. I need to try to track down Bob. I'm on it. I'm on it right now. What's Bobby's last name? Do you know?
He said it in the episode.
I don't remember either. All right.
Clearly
it doesn't matter. That guy is so fucking greasy and gross. Ugh. Bobby Shubinski.
That sounds about right.
See, I assume his dad's name would be Bob Shubinski.
Possible.
We'll find him. All right, who else do you like?
Are you sitting down for this one?
Don't you dare.
Well, you might want to sit down. I know you agreed with everything I said about Foxy.
Don't you dare.
My number one was Brie Bella this week.
Jesus Christ. There's nothing she did that's worthy of being liked.
Yes, there was. Now, they're at the house in Phoenix, and she invited Nikki to stay with her for a few days because she wanted to, like, make up for telling her no previously. And she's like, I didn't know about all these deep-seated emotional issues from when Pop bit it. And then she did something that you wouldn't expect Brie Bella to do, but she did it. Made a delicious-looking pot of tea.
Ugh.
And then offered it to Nikki. She's like, I made tea. Would you like some? She didn't have to share that tea. She could have just said, oh, just Brie tea.
Mm-hmm.
She shared her tea. It looked like a really great tea, too.
I can't even. All right, now, we got through that. We got to discuss this, okay? So, Rosa Mendez is the good Christian girl, correct?
That's what she said.
All right, so, do we remember when she came out as bisexual?
Yes, because I kept thinking that whole thing. I'm like, but if it's so important, image of this Bobby guy, what about when you were dating broads?
Yes.
I kept thinking that the whole episode.
Now, I want to take this one step further with this Bobby character. All right? So this Bobby character, I just learned something about him, okay? So
his last
name? Yes, I learned that, but then that led me to learning more about him that I was not aware of. So he referenced about the mom seeing him online, right? Looking at pictures of him online, learning about him online and all this, correct? Am I correct
yes.
on this?
Yes.
Well, this Bobby character is the co-owner of an online clothing retailer called Black Craft Cult. So, the mom is going online, correct. She's looking up this Bobby Schubenheimer, whatever, correct, right?
Schubinski.
So we know, but we know, she's been looking him up, right? She's been Googling him, correct?
That's why it was alleged.
And let's take a look at some of the clothing one were, if they were so inclined to find on the Black Craft Cult website that he owns. There is a shirt that has a picture of a pentagram on the front, and on the back it has a picture of a church on fire that says, "Stay lit." Let's scroll down a little further. Bobby has a hoodie for sale that says, "I am a soldier in Satan's army." Let's scroll a little further. He has a shirt that says, that you get free with any purchase currently, that says, "Satan is my spirit animal." Let's keep going. Let's keep going. There's more. "You keep praying, I'll keep evolving." Let's keep going. Now, old mom, she's Googling. She's like, "Oh, I wonder what this Bobby's up to. Oh, let's see what this shirt says." Oh, "Religion poisons everything." Oh, man, I really question if Bobby is a Christian now. Let me keep scrolling here, Bobby. I'm really starting to wonder. Oh, what's that? A picture of Satan on the front of a shirt, and then the back says, "Bigger than God?" Huh. I'm really not sure. "Hail Satan and eat pizza?" Huh. This guy, I'm just not sure. Oh, he sells a pin, a button, that says God with the Ghostbusters crossed out sign through it? Huh. I'm really thinking this guy might not be a Christian, but I'm just... No gods, no masters. Huh. Man, old mom just Googling. She's really confused. Like, I just know he's a good Christian. But then there's this shirt. There's this shirt. Dog gods, cats, coffee, and Satan. One nation, no God, with a bunch of upside down crosses in place of stars on a flag.
Now, to be fair, as soon as he said that to poor Elizabeth, I instantly thought to myself, there's no way that broad was looking him up online. She probably very seldom ever gets online. And when she does, it's to look at, like, pictures of something Rosa showed him. She's like, "Look at this on WWE.com. It's me." And she's like, "Oh, that's nice, Rosa. That's nice." And she doesn't really pay too much attention to it. I think that's far too big of it. This guy's ego is like, "Oh, well, you must look at everything that's ever been put online referencing me or about me."
Yes.
Because everyone does. When in fact, she did not. So she didn't say, "No, I've never heard of you, actually." She just, "Oh, okay."
But I think I found the perfect Mother's Day gift he can give her. The front of the shirt, a picture of a beautiful nun. She would like that, right?
Possibly.
And on the back it says, "Sorry I missed church. I was busy practicing witchcraft and becoming a lesbian."
Wow. Now, Rosa probably actually can legitimately say that.
Rosa's just like, "Listen, you need to respect my beliefs." He's like, all right, I'll respect them. All right, fine, I'll respect them. Here's a bar of soap that says, "Satan washes our hands clean of Christianity." They sell soap that looks like a Ouija board planchet. They sell blankets with enormous pentagrams on them that say, "Believe in yourself." I had no idea this was what this guy did. All he sells are shirts that's about how Jesus is fake and Satan is the way. And then we're supposed to just take it, like, you know, come on, just respect my atheism, okay? And listen, I'll respect your religion, okay? I'll respect your religion. Here's your shirt that says, you will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters, Leviticus 20.
Now, is there any chance you'll be getting one of the ones that references pizza for Beast? Because I think he'd enjoy that one.
It's possible. I mean, there's some shirts on here that I would like to have for myself. But they're super expensive. Let's see, Simon. Let's play a game. How much do you think a zip-up hooded windbreaker cost? Nope, not even zip-up. A button wooden windbreaker with an enormous pentagram on it costs.
$55.95.
Wow, $60. $60. How much do you think a women's crew neck sweatshirt with a picture of a cat on it? The cat has an upside down cross on its forehead and it says Lucifer. How much do you think that costs? Lucifer.
$39.95.
Very close. $42. All right, I'm going to get you with one of these. We'll guess one more. One more of old Bobby's, you know, just very respectful, very respectful beliefs. Let's see. Where do I want to go? Oh, there's so much to pick from. Let's find that bar of soap. Let me find that bar of soap. All right. Where'd it go? This is a bar of soap. It's crafted into the shape of a Ouija board planchet. You know, the thing you put your hands on to maneuver around the board. What do you think that bar of soap... It's black, of course. Oh, it's super black. What do you think that soap retails for?
$12.
Ooh, $15. $15. Let's do one more. This is fun. Okay. These are a pair of sweatpants. They have various satanic imagery. There's a the one-eyed sign of the Illuminati on it. There's skeleton hands. And then, you know, on the butt, how sometimes women will say, like, sexy or juicy or something, right? These say unholy. What do you think they cost?
$27.95.
Oh, $46.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what Bobby does as a job.
Well, isn't he also in a band?
I don't know. I'm sure the band is a bunch.
I think so.
The band's probably a bunch of failures. But this is, I've heard about, you know who wears all this stuff all the time? It's Baron Corbin.
He wears Bobby's stuff?
Yeah, he wears that gear always. Anytime I've seen him, like, not wrestling, he's wearing something from Black Craft Cult. Like, I'd heard about it a long time ago. I just had no idea that old Greaseball Bobby was involved with it. Old Bobby, I'll respect your religion. Satan, baby, unholy 666 death.
Now, keep in mind, they established last week that Paige and Bobby, buddy pals. In fact, they said they were best buddy pals, and Paige was directly responsible for the coupling of Rosa and Bobby.
Oh, this is true. This is very true. Oh, there's a picture of him cuddling the baby on top of a Baphomet pillow with a demon just right there with his baby. I wonder if they sent that one to Grandma to frame.
Maybe. Now, I forgot to mention this, but this bothered me the last several episodes. Why did they name this baby after Harold Miner?
Baby Jordan?
They just keep talking, Baby Jordan, 1992, USC star,
but
Harold Miner, Baby Jordan.
I'm going to tell you something that I just saw about Bobby Shubinsky that makes him even worse to me. It's not his lack of respect for anyone's religions. It's not his ability to stomach Rosa Mendez long enough to have a baby. No, I saw a picture of him in a Lakers jersey.
I'm going to guess it was a Kurt Rambis jersey.
I didn't look close enough to see. I just saw his glance. Because I'm trying to find out if he was in a band or...
It seems to me they referenced it...
I know.
...several episodes ago.
But...
It was like before we ever saw him, they kind of referenced...
Kevin
were in bands, and that's how he...
Yeah.
Came to know Paige.
Well, this Black Craft Cult, like this clothing line, is what he's known for. But he was in some lesser known bands, such as Monkeys Are Machine Guns, The Witch Was Right, and Suffer Well. Monkeys Are Machine Guns.
See, I was right.
This fucking guy. Oh, Bobby. Bobby, I was going to buy some Black Craft Cult shirts, but now that I know it's all going to fund Rosa Mendez's baby's baptism.
Baby after Harold Miner. Why in the year 2015 would anyone name their baby after Harold Miner?
I don't know. Let's wrap this up. What do you got going on?
Well, Friday on Sign Guys Wrestling Show, we have Haley Shadows. Haley Shadows.
Yes.
And Saturday, I'll be at Paulsbo, Washington. We finally returned to Paulsbo over there on the Kitsap Peninsula.
Yes.
Then, Sunday on Turnbuckle Turmoil, it's Cruiserweight Day. We got bunches of cruiserweights talking about cruiserweights. And whatever random things pop into QT's head, apparently. Then, I got to beeline it down to Portland for NWA Blue Collar, which is on TV in the Portland market.
Nice.
So the television championship, once again, making complete sense because we do have local television.
That's very excellent. Very excellent. On Saturday, I'll be making my way to Bankers Life Fieldhouse in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, to watch the Columbus North Lady Bulldogs defend their state championship title against Penn. I don't know where they're from either. Lady Bulldogs defending the championship. And that's about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, until next time, go check out Black Craft Cult. Buy some Satan soap and help get Rose's baby baptized. So, dudes, Sign Guy Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Ba-ba-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-